forward with our gospel lesson. This is the high spot in our week when we hear the good news of Jesus Christ read aloud as a community of believers. It is this gospel that brings us together as Christians. It is Jesus and Jesus' word that we come to hear and be part of. So I'm going to be reading from the gospel according to Mark. I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. I read from the Common English Bible. I believe it is printed on the back of your bulletin. I know Carl will project it. And I invite you to hear the good news. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus, James, and John went home with Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed, sick with a fever. And they told Jesus about her at once. He went to her and took her by the hand and raised her up. The fever left her, and she served them. And that evening at sunset, people brought to Jesus those who were sick or demon-possessed. The whole town gathered near the door. He healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. But he didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. And early in the morning, while before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down. And when they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let's head in the other direction to the nearby villages so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come." And he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and throwing out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
All right. First of all, it's good to see so many of you have chosen to come to worship today. It's good to put God first in your life. You know, there are a lot of people, thousands of people who are going to worship at the altar of the Super Bowl today with no thought whatever of worshiping God. So you have chosen the better portion. You have chosen the better part. Not because of me, but because of what we just read and because of the other people who are here with us. Okay? All right. Before we start, I heard about a young guy this week who was really in a difficult situation. He has bought two tickets for the Super Bowl today, and he bought them as soon as they came on the market. But he forgot something. He forgot that he and his fiancée had scheduled their wedding for this afternoon in another city. Yeah, he did. And he realizes that he can't go. It's totally out of the question. So if you're interested and want to go instead of him, here's what you need to know. It's at St. Peter's Church in New York City at 5 p.m. Her name's Louise. She'll be the one wearing a white dress. Yeah, sometimes when God calls, let's go, we don't make sure that it's God calling, let's go. We sometimes take it on ourselves to decide what to do and run and do it rather than checking and making sure God is leading us and going with us into it. Today we hear about Jesus in the home of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Now, medicine was different in the first century. They didn't know anything about antibiotics. Running a fever was much like a death sentence. And they told Jesus about her at once. And he went to her and he cast out the demon fever. It was a God act. It was a salvation for a dying woman. What happens next is nothing short of amazing. The woman got up and began serving them. It's not amazing because she took on the task of serving a bunch of lazy men. Okay, that's not what's amazing. It's amazing because it's the first true messianic ministry creating Jesus' new family. She was perhaps the first person other than Jesus to spread the radical announcement of the kingdom of God Jesus is inaugurating. But she didn't do it alone. Jesus was with her. When God calls, let's go, we are not going alone. God always goes with us. A little boy and his father were walking along a road when they came across a large stone. And the boy looked at the stone, thought about it for a minute, and then he looked at his dad and he said, "Do you think if I use all my strength, I can move that rock?" His dad looked and contemplated for a second, said, "It's a large rock, but I think if you use all your strength, you can do it." That was all the child needed to hear. He ran over to the rock and he began to push on it and shove it and tried this way and he tried that way. He exerted so much energy that he was beads of sweat were popping out on his forehead. But nothing he did moved that rock. He could not move the rock an inch. It didn't go anywhere. Didn't even act like it thought about moving. After a while, he sat down. His face had fallen. His whole body seemed to be just a lump there on the earth. "You're wrong, Dad," he said. "I can't do it." His father walked over to him and knelt down next to him and put his arm around the boy's shoulder and said, "You can do it. You just didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask me to help. The world in which we live tells us that it is all up to us. It tells us that we have to be strong and independent. It tells us we can't and shouldn't count on anyone or anything else. And yet, what faith tells us, and what Jews and Christians have known forever, is that we already have the resource in God, strength for those who ask for any task. When God calls, let's go, he doesn't throw us out into the world and abandon us. We have more power, more ability, and more opportunity than we ever dared to dream or imagine. We have infinite resources available to us. We have God with us every step of the way. Anytime God calls, let's go. When God calls, let's go, God walks with us into the world. Now, we are not called to walk the same trails other Christians have walked before us. God calls, let's go, to places others have not been before, where others have not been led before. You remember Frank Lloyd Wright? Wright was an American architect. He led a colorful life, but what I want to focus on is his vision for architecture. Wright believed in designing structures that were in harmony with humanity and its environment. His vision for urban planning in the United States, in addition to his houses, were unique. They transformed the way we view architecture. They transformed the way our world looks. Wright was recognized posthumously by the American Institute of Architecture as the greatest American architect of all time in 1991. He was fond of talking about an incident that, when it happened, might have seemed insignificant, but it had a profound influence on the rest of his life. The winter that he was 9 years old, he went walking across a snow-covered field with his uncle. Uncle was a reserved, no-nonsense kind of guy. As the two of them reached the far end of the field, his uncle stopped him and turned around and pointed to Uncle's tracks in the snow, straight and true as an arrow would fly. Then he pointed to Frank's tracks in the snow, all over the place, meandering from place to place in the field. "Notice how your tracks wander aimlessly from the fence to the cattle to the woods and back again," his uncle said, "and see how my tracks aim direct to my goal. That's an important lesson for you to learn." Years later, the then world famous architect liked to tell how the experience had contributed to his philosophy of life. "I determined right then," he'd say with a twinkle in his eye, "not to miss the things in life that my uncle had missed." Frank Lloyd Wright saw in those tracks what his uncle could not. It is easy to let the demands of life keep us from the joy of living. It's easy. God calls, let's go, and walks with us as we blaze new trails. God urges and even at times pushes us outside the lines of the comfortable ways of living that we have built for ourselves. When God calls, let's go, we are called to a new and innovative way of seeing the world. We are called to trust God and grow more fully in our relationship with God and with other people. God calls, let's go, as we go out into our new and uncharted future. It is a future that holds unknowns for us. Still, God calls, let's go. J. Ellsworth Callis, in his book, If Experience is Such a Good Teacher, Why Do I Keep Repeating the Course?, tells about Hamilton College celebrating their centennial. One of their most famous alumni, Alexandra Wolcott, was asked to give the primary address. Horace Fenton Jr. remembered that Wolcott opened his speech with this statement: "I send my greetings today to all my fellow alumni of Hamilton College, scattered all over the world. Some of you are successes, some of you are failures. God only knows which is which." Callis wondered if we recognize success when we see it. The only real success we hear in heaven life is hearing God's call and accepting it. Hear me, people. Nothing else will satisfy the hunger you have in your heart. Nothing else will ease the pain or bitter disappointment or frustration with others or anxiety over the future that you experience in your life. Nothing else. Going with God is the only way to soothe your soul. In the United Methodist Church of Moore, Oklahoma, a young man in his late 20s by the name of Bill experienced a renewal of faith on a weekend retreat. He returned to his church. Bill was determined to revitalize the men's group by reaching out to the young men in the community. He discovered that a lot of young men in the community liked to gather in the fall and to watch Sunday afternoon, Sunday night football on television. But the only places providing for that setting were bars. Bill wondered if the men's group could bring a large screen television into the church fellowship hall Sunday afternoons and evenings and host unchurched men so that they could come in and be there in the church in fellowship watching the ball game. He asked an acquaintance of his who happened to have long hair and a left ear ring and rode a motorcycle. He wanted to know if the guys would come. And the guy said, "I would come and I would like it and I would probably bring some other guys too." Well, Bill took this information and he proposed it the next night at the agenda, as part of an agenda item. When the men's group president, he heard this reply: "Well, sure, we could meet on Sunday afternoons and evenings, but we like Monopoly more than football. Invite them to come and play our game." Now, I'm not suggesting that all the men in our church start wearing jewelry in their ears, but I am asking, what are we willing to do to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? What are we able and willing to do to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? God calls, "Let's go," and takes us into incredible opportunities that we are blinded to until we hear and accept God's call. When we accept that call, "Let's go," we are no longer paralyzed by the obstacles that stand between us and participating with God in this new future He is creating, in this new creation we are a part of. We are kingdom people. Our commitment to Christ is our unity as a body. Today we will gather around God's holy table, set apart for those who confess their sins before God and one another, and who turn away from the things that separate us from God, and change our ways and seek to move with God each time God calls, "Let's go." Jesus invites everyone to this feast. It is when and where we, like the bread, are taken by God. God takes us as repentant sinners and blesses us, not in our sin, rather in our purity after we repent. When God blesses us, we are no longer in a sinful condition. And it is during the feast that God breaks us, divides us up, and then gives us to a starving world. God calls, "Let's go." He doesn't abandon us to the task at hand. He goes with us, providing the fullness of strength we need for any situation. When God calls, "Let's go," just as Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go in another direction to spread the good news." God calls, "Let's go." Let's go to us, and we go with God, and we blaze new trails, we lay new roads, and we bring good news to more people. When God calls, "Let's go," it's an invitation that challenges us to decide what we are able and willing to do to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. God calls us daily. Let's go. Let's go with God, the fullness of His strength. Let's go blaze new trails, places no one has gone before us, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And let's go with God, knowing what we're willing and able to do to make disciples for the transformation of the world. God calls, let's go. Our communion is a little different.